As we've heard throughout the presentation this morning, that there are a number of compounding and critical issues that are confronting irrigated agriculture. And these include meeting the demands of food, fiber, biofuel for a growing population that's predicted to double in the next 40 years. One of the questions is, can production agriculture keep pace? There's an elevated of threat of crop failure due to severe weather conditions from climate variation. So one of the questions is, will crop insurance be enough to sustain production agriculture? Or if not, what will it be? There's rising energy costs, and there's pressures to reduce negative environmental impacts from irrigated agriculture. And certainly, these costs will impact production agriculture. To what extent do we want this to play out? In other words, do we want to see our grocery stores look like Target at Christmas time? Probably not. So there's some intervention that we can do. And that's what we're focusing on at Bushland, and that is integrating automation and control into our irrigation systems to control crop water use efficiency. And that's what I'm going to focus on for the rest of the presentation. Now, the premise for control and automation, as I see it, is to focus on the delivery of appropriate amounts of irrigation water to specific areas within the field. I'm talking about site-specific irrigation management. Another premise is to implement irrigation management strategies to optimize yields. And that was talked about in an earlier presentation as well. We can do this irrigation scheme based on limited well capacity, which a lot of producers are now faced with. Also, we can put into play regulated deficit irrigation algorithms. And the fourth premise is to provide support to producers in terms of time and energy savings when they are managing multiple fields. Key components for automation. The first is a pressurized irrigation infrastructure. And the second slide, the slide after this, I'll talk more about that. Another critical component are sensors for remote crop and weather monitoring, and also in situ soil water sensors. And I'm talking mainly about sensors in the visible, near-infrared, and infrared range to detect abiotic and biotic stresses within a field in order to come up with a decision support systems listed in item number 3 to determine when to irrigate, how much to irrigate, or perhaps to withhold irrigation. And a final key component, which is an important component, is remote communication from the desk to the field for irrigation operation and control. And I think it's noteworthy to talk about a private company that is doing very well in the Panhandle region that offers remote web access to farmers to their pivots. And they are looking at monitoring the operation of the pump. They just want to know if the pump is on and off, and if the pump is the pivot moving? And that, I believe, is very important because it has allowed the producers to take that first step to look at remote communication. And we'll be asking them to take a further step to not only be able to monitor their fields and their systems, but to control them. Now, as far as infrastructure, I am including subsurface drip irrigation into pressurized irrigation systems. So I'm including them with center pivots and linear moves, because I believe all three of these systems can be augmented with automation and control. In the United States, the majority of land, or more than 62%, is irrigated with either one of these three systems. Also, if you talk to any of the major sprinkler companies, The international market for center pivots and linear moves is increasing. And then finally, the knowledge base for the operation and the maintenance of these pressurized systems, it's well established, so that we can have tech transfer to developing economies who are purchasing these pressurized irrigation systems or installing the subsurface drip irrigation systems. Now, an important component of what we're integrating, and it's probably fairly obvious, is control of moving systems. And that requires software, microprocessors, and georeferencing units. And this has been evolved in research and passed to the commercial industry. And so control of moving systems is available to producers at this time. We also need to provide for control of hardware for water delivery, and that's the on and off control for pumps, and also the operation of individual solenoid valves once we get into variable rate irrigation, or once we are establishing automation of subsurface drip irrigation systems. And I did include LEPA, low energy precision application, and LISA, low elevation spray application methods, because these are ways to reduce water losses through evaporation. And they're quite important when we're talking about water use efficiency. Now I look at levels of irrigation control application in two steps. And the first one being automatic irrigation scheduling, which is what we're doing at Bushland. We're using a plant feedback method, but there are other methods to do automatic irrigation scheduling. Variable rate irrigation is a more complex method, and it does integrate automatic irrigation scheduling as well as the delivery of variable rate irrigation. With the static method, we're talking about providing a prescription to the irrigation system. And you can think of this as providing perhaps a soil map, different soil textures, and how the irrigation should be applied. So it wouldn't change throughout the season. But ultimately, what we're looking to do is provide a dynamic method where we have the integration of automatic irrigation scheduling and variable rate delivery. So it would change throughout the season as to how much we water and where we water. Now I want to go into the experimental studies that we've been working at Bushland. And again, we've been working at the level of automatic irrigation scheduling. In the 90s, Steve Abbott worked with subsurface drip irrigation on corn and looked at the response of corn to the time temperature threshold method of automatic irrigation scheduling. And since then, we've been working with center pivot irrigation and automatic irrigation scheduling of soybean, cotton, and sorghum. Now, to give you an idea of a typical field experiment layout, and this is, of course, in the case of a center pivot system, we crop half of the pivot field, and we let the other half stay fallow so that we can have uniform soil water throughout the profile for the next year that we do our experiment. We take the semicircle that we crop and we divide it into 6 pie sections, 3 of which are manually irrigated and 3 of which are automatically irrigated. Now the manual irrigations are based on neutron probe measurements that are performed weekly in the highest irrigation treatment amount, and then we irrigate back to that percent of soil water depletion. In the automatic blocks, those are irrigated automatically by the center pivot system based on a thermal stress index. So again, we've either used a time temperature threshold index, or most recently we've used an integrated crop water stress index. Now, radially within each of these pie sections, we have varying irrigation treatment levels. And in this case here, this was for our sorghum, we had levels of 0, 30, 55, and 80% replenishment of soil water depletion. Now, what I'm going to discuss is irrigation water use efficiency, so I wanted to give you a definition. I'm looking at the ratio of the economic yield from the irrigation treatment level above the yield for the treatments that we irrigated to the least amount. I can't call them dry land because we did irrigate them until we had an established plant stand. And we're looking at that yield in relation to irrigation depth or the amount of irrigation applied. The key components that we use in our automatic irrigation scheduling, and we did use sensors, and we're using wireless infrared thermometers to measure the crop canopy temperature. We use the wireless systems because they're easy to deploy, they're easy to maintain, and we're able to put out a good number of them. We have 24 on the pivot lateral, and we had 8 in the field. We also use a wireless GPS unit for georeferencing, and we collect data from a meteorological station within the pivot field. All of this we use for the automatic irrigation scheduling. And then we communicate remotely through an Ethernet connection with the center pivot itself. Now, the center pivot has an embedded computer whereby it's collecting data from the wireless sensors and controlling the movement of the pivot as well as the automatic irrigation scheduling. I did go over the methods of irrigation scheduling. The one thing that I did want to point out is for automatic irrigation scheduling, the amount of water that's delivered is the percent of twice the peak daily crop water use. And that's based on information from the weighing lysimeters of bushland. Here's some of the results that we obtained. In 2007, in looking at yield response of short season cotton to manual versus automatic methods of irrigation scheduling, we see that the yields are similar and not significantly different, except in the case of the 67% irrigation treatment level. If we look at irrigation water use efficiency as a function of irrigation depth, we see that as we increase irrigation depth, we decrease irrigation water use efficiency. And this is a typical response that we see for cotton. In 2008, we saw a little bit of a different response in terms of the yield values from the automatic versus the manual control plots. In the drier treatment plots, there was no significant difference. But in the higher treatment plots, the automatic yields were significantly larger than the manual yields. And in 2008, we had very warm temperatures, very hot temperatures, and windy conditions at the time of planting. We almost lost our plant stand. We didn't lose it, but it did retard the growth. And then in mid-August, we received high rains, and so that impacted bowl set. So if you look at the yield capacities, or the lint yield from 2007, compare it to 2008, it was about half in 2008 because of these conditions. But if we look at irrigation water use efficiency, and again, we're plotting the automatic irrigation water use efficiency control values along with the manual, we see a good negative linear relationship again, an even stronger one compared to the amount of irrigation applied. When we look at yield response of long season sorghum, hybrids to manual and automatic irrigation scheduling and methods, we see that the grain yield, and it's represented here in megagrams per hectare, we see that they are very similar and only significantly different in the 30% irrigation treatment level. And now why that happened, it's probably due to soil water variability in the different plots, but I'm not precisely sure yet at this point. If we look at irrigation water use efficiency relative to irrigation depth, we see a different type of response that can be characterized as a quadratic formula. But what's important to look at is that irrigation water use efficiency for the automatic control method outperformed that for the manual control method. Now, yield response of the short season hybrid sorghum to manual and automatic control methods of irrigation, and this time using an integrated crop water stress index, we see that in the 0% treatment level and the 80% treatment level, the yields were not significantly different. They were significantly different in the 30 and 55% level. And what happened is in the beginning of 2009, we suffered a farming catastrophe under the center pivot. We started out the season planting cotton, and because of a herbicide, it died. So we had to plant sorghum, and we planted it on the same half of the pivot field from which we planted cotton in 2008. So we were not able to overcome soil water variability. If we look at irrigation water use efficiencies in relation to irrigation depth, they pretty much match for the higher irrigation treatment levels at the 55 and 80%, but they do fall apart at the lesser treatment level at the 30%. So like I said, at Bushland, we are using automatic irrigation scheduling. This year, we'll be integrating variable rate equipment onto our center pivot. And in time, we'll be integrating automatic irrigation scheduling and variable rate delivery of water. The importance of variable rate technology is not only to manage irrigation, but it's to manage chemigation and fertigation and to address variability that occurs within a field in both aspects of spatial variability and temporal variability. We'll be able to address water conservation issues and also the negative impacts, we believe, that are brought about by over-irrigation or over-chemigation and fertigation. I threw seeding rate in there, but I think I did that just to bring it all together when we talk about looking at research and the different crop varieties that are coming out, the drought-tolerant crop varieties, and perhaps what seeding rates would be best under variable rate irrigation. Now, this photo here is a courtesy of Bob Evans. He's been doing variable rate irrigation in Sydney, Montana. It's kind of an interesting photo. If you look closely, what Bob and his team have done is they've augmented their linear move with both MISA and LISA type drop hoses. So he is working with automatic irrigation scheduling based on soil water sensors, but he's also allowing a farmer to choose between these two types of application methods. Bob has not done water use efficiency studies, but you can see the importance of integrating water use efficiency and variable rate technology in order to conserve water. So in summary, we saw that yield responses from automatic irrigation scheduling for cotton and sorghum using the time temperature threshold method, they were similar to responses for manual irrigation methods. So that's a good sign. We can save producers time and money in irrigating multiple pivot fields. also irrigated agriculture. We know it'll have an important role in providing for national and global food security. And although automation and control will not be a panacea, it will be an important tool to enhance food productivity. And with that, I just want to acknowledge funding from the Ogallala Aquifer Program, from the Thai Bard Program, the United Sorghum Checkoff Program.